ready. We'd like to welcome everybody out to the Daniel Town Council meeting tonight, Monday, December 4th, 2023, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building. Appreciate all of you being here. We'll go ahead and get right started. Agenda item number one, public comment. Do we have any public comment tonight?
ROADS?
What's that?
Roads. Getting bigger, holes are getting bigger and bigger.
Yes, they are. So.
It's by design.
Huh?
It's by design.
Well, yeah, but.
Traffic control.
It's a traffic control.
I'll talk.
Yeah, that one up there on Old Mill was really a traffic design.
Sure, the mayor's got it on his.
I'll talk about that in my council report if that's all right, when we get to there. Okay, any other comments? Okay, let's go to agenda item number two. Consideration of DO 2023-12-04 meeting schedule for 2024. And so we'll open that up for discussion.
Okay.
I think every one of you has probably got a copy of that in front of you.
I don't know what Stan brought about the decision to have meetings on Monday. I know it's a night, but I know there's lots of conflicts.
What do you think about this?
That would just be my comment.
Okay.
There is a typo, December 42.
Okay.
Oh, well, it'll be for a long, long time.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
What should that be, 24? No?
Four.
Four.
Wait a second.
Second, sorry.
So where's the typo?
Under Daniel Town Council.
On the schedule.
On the schedule sheet.
December, the December date.
Oh.
This was Eve.
Okay. Oops.
Might as well.
Couple of weeks after.
We're all good.
I think it's the second.
Talk a little bit about your comment. I know that scheduling this building has been a real big problem. During the weekdays.
Probably lots of other better reasons than the one I brought up, but I just don't know whether, my mind's like, my meeting is not the best time to meet. But yeah, you're right, scheduling this building, other conflicts I'm sure exist, but I'd sure like to have some dialogue about, at least about it, so.
I think.
Conflicts, I don't know.
I think we'll have to have some conversation about it, but for next year, I think we're pretty much well married to Mondays, which they know that we've got those dates scheduled, and so it's just pretty easy to keep going with that for this next year, so. Any other comments or?
Can we talk about anyone requesting to be on the Daniel Town Council agenda should submit their request to the clerk recorder no later than 10 business days prior to the meeting? We only meet once a month, and I don't know. It seems like we're going
to. And I just took this from last year's too, so. No, and that's totally fine.
We need to think about this though, because meeting only once a month, it's hard for you to fit everything in if we're requiring 10 business days prior to the meeting. What do you think, Mayor?
What are you thinking in regards to that, Mary? Do you want it submitted more time?
Less time.
Less time.
I think if somebody wants to be on the agenda, you could approve that, even like up to the, just prior to the publishing of the agenda?
Well,
How far ahead does she have to post it?
Just 24 hours, but we meet on the Friday before each of these dates. So if I could at least have notice by the Thursday before, and I can look, so that would be basically, you know, 5 business days before, then we can talk about that in staff meeting before he looks over the agenda.
Probably can be less than 5 business days, because if they had it submitted on the Thursday, we meet on Friday, then you got Saturday, Sunday, and the meeting's on Monday, so it's...
Only a couple of business days.
So just 5 days, I guess.
Yeah.
Not 5 business days.
I kind of knew what you were talking.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't see that being a problem.
I see a problem with that. If there's somebody who wants to be on the agenda, most likely there's some information you're going to want. Because if it's on the agenda, you can take action on it. And if there's not 10 days notice, you don't have time to get what we need as far as staff to you guys before that shows up on the agenda. And we have to postpone it for a month while we get that.
There's research to be done on some issues, and sometimes that takes time. And there's other people to be notified also if it's an issue that might involve separate parties.
The engineering office.
That is my thought too. It's 10 days is pretty, that's kind of what we
go by. That wouldn't give me enough time if I had to get, like if there was a neighbor dispute, to get letters out to say, neighbors in 500 feet, or do you want to mean like I'm just using that as an example?
Good comments. I like all that. Makes sense to me. Because typically when somebody wants to go onto the agenda and there is an issue like that, there is research involved. So any other comments?
I think you gotta leave it at the 10 days. 10 business days.
John, I'm gonna put you on the spot.
I don't know, I see both ways.
I see it both ways too.
I see some that need 10 days and I see some that don't. So I don't know.
I honestly think we leave it at the 10, because some that if you do need that time, then you've got it, and you don't want to sit and hum-haw back and forth either. I like, if somebody only needs to get on the agenda to talk, then 2 days is probably fine. But if we're having to research stuff,
but they can also do that during public comment.
Could come to public comment and address that.
I guess this doesn't say you can't be on the agenda if you submit it, right? So if someone were to come 2 days before you with something simple, and you wanted it on the agenda, does this prevent us from doing that?
I don't think so. I think the mayor can put, or two council members can put anything on the agenda up to the 24-hour notice.
Yeah. So I think to leave it, we're probably good.
Okay.
Anything else on meeting schedule? Okay. I'll call for a motion then.
Did the Planning Commission already approve these dates for their meetings? Or are we approving them as well?
We're approving them as well. That's the third Wednesday of each month. And that's what we've got the building scheduled as right now. So, yeah. Gary, what do you think?
I think you'd better approve them.
we don't
have to come in January.
Man.
Actually, don't approve them, no.
One second thought.
Yeah.
Motion to approve. You already have.
You have to read that in first.
Do I have to read this in before I call for a motion? Okay.
It's an ordinance, you do.
I'll read it in then I'll call for a motion. Okay, Town of Daniel, Utah Municipal Ordinance Number DO 2023-12-04. The approval date is December 4th, 2023. The effective date is January 1st, 2024. The short title is the 2023 Daniel Town Meeting Schedules. The purpose of this ordinance is to adapt the 2024 meeting schedule for the Daniel Town Council, Planning Commission, and Board of Appeals. The ordinance, be it ordained by the governing legislative body of the town of the town, that meetings will be held at the Wasatch County Services Building located at 55 South 500 East, Conference Room B, Heber City, Utah, and or potential electronic meetings. Except for the January, July, and September meetings,
Sorry, I forgot to take out July on this copy, so it's just January and September.
Right. Except for the January and September meetings, which will be held on the second Monday of the month due to holidays. The monthly town council meeting shall be held on the first Monday of each month at 6 o'clock p.m. The Daniel Planning Commission meeting will be held on the third Wednesday of each month at 7 o'clock p.m. The Board of Appeals will meet at 7 p.m. as needed. The published schedule is subject to change by town officers due to unforeseeable circumstances and will expire on December 31st, 2023.
That needs to be 24.
24.
Sorry.
Any town officers are hereby authorized to provide notice of the schedule, meetings, meeting cancellations, and or meeting date changes, and agendas for such meetings in accordance with the laws of the state of Utah. A copy of the schedule is attached to this ordinance. State reference number UCA, Title 10, Chapter 3, Part 5. Okay, call for a motion.
So moved.
With the changes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Blatter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes. Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 3, which is consideration of DR 2023-12-04A, not dash, but point. Appointment of planning commissioners. Okay. So,
awesome, great, let's do it.
Okay. I'll read this ordinance in her resolution, not an ordinance. This is resolution number DR-2023-12-04A. The approval date is December 4th, 2023. The effective date is January 1st, 2024. The short title is the resolution reappointing Daniel Town Planning Commission members for a 4-year term to run from January 2024 to December 2028. The purpose of this resolution is to reappoint Daniel Town Planning Commission members who have agreed to continue to serve on the commission and who agree to abide by the ordinances established by the Town of Daniel Council and by the bylaws established by the Daniel Town Planning Commission. Resolution, be it resolved and approved by the Daniel Town Council that the following persons, seat one, Gary Waite, seat two, Eric Bennett, and seat three, Pam Skinner, to serve on the Planning Commission for a 4-year term which shall run from January 2024 to December 2026.
That should read 2028, sorry.
Well, it should be December 2027.
2027, okay.
So we change that up under the short title.
Okay, I'll change it in both places.
And the other place, right.
2027.
So all of 2024, 25, 26, and 27.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is DMC Title 2, dash Section 2.01.03. Is there any discussion about that?
Have our members agreed to, Pam, did you agree to serve again? Thank you so much. Gary? Thank you so much.
We're hoping for a big turnout, right, Gary?
Yep.
And I spoke to Eric today and got his email. He also agreed.
We appreciate you so much.
We were all willing to let someone else take over, but since there wasn't anyone.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're looking for new, bright, young ideas.
And that's just what we got.
Yeah. We'll try. We'll keep at it.
Okay, call for a motion.
I would move that we approve DR 2023-1204A, which is reappointing members of the Planning Commission for a 4-year term.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Slaughter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Fisher, yes.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 4. Consideration of DR 2023-12.04B, allocation of ARPA funds. And I was talking to Mary a couple of days ago yesterday, and just going to turn a little bit of time over to Mary to talk about these ARPA funds and where we're at on those.
In the last few weeks, Congress has changed the rules, and
they did something.
They did. The original rule was that we had to obligate the funds by the end of this calendar year, and expend the funds by the end of 2024. They have since revised this. They've added new uses, including emergency relief from natural disasters, community development, and surface transportation projects. So in addition to the other uses that were eligible, they've added these. They've changed the dates. The obligation of the cost, which when I speak of an obligation, I'm talking about an actual contract. We in fact did budget the money this year. We did put it in our current fiscal year budget so that we could spend it this year. That's not what they consider an obligation. An obligation is when you actually sign a contract with a contractor or individual that's going to perform the work that you've designated. That needs to be done by the end of 24. So they've given us a whole year. So by December 31st of 24, and then the money must be actually expended by 12/31. 2026. They've pushed it out into the future. Unless you're doing a surface transportation project, and in that case it has to be spent by September 30th of 26. And I assume that's because of the cold weather, you know, that would hinder road work and that kind of thing. We have a resolution tonight, and certainly if you want to consider that, you certainly might do that, but I think after consideration of what I've learned, I think I might recommend that this be delayed for the next council to actually consider what we want to do with that money. I'm looking at this resolution and it says the remaining $127,000. I didn't know that we had actually spent any of it. It's about 138 $100,000.
No, it's $127,000. It was $63,000 twice. The rest of it was was CARES funds.
Okay.
And we did spend the CARES funds, but they were kind of...
Okay.
So that's why
you're
it's
right.
remaining. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of commingled for a little while.
You're right. Okay. So, but anyway, I think what I would recommend, because if you have a disaster that comes up, if you, for instance, we have a couple of bridges in town that maybe you'd like to consider working on those bridges. Maybe pump house for Storm Haven. I'm not sure what you want to spend the money on. But to obligate yourself with this right now maybe isn't necessary to do that. However, with a caveat, because of the amount of money that we have been allocated, I have to submit one annual report every year. It's due in April, and it's only April that I can submit that report. And in April of 2024, we will have to have determined what we will use the funds for and an estimate of what that cost will be. So, you know, in the next few months, we'll have to make that determination. But this council, not me, I'm a lame duck now. And so the next council will have to determine, you know, how we're going to spend that money. So there's that. And just as additional information, once you sign the contract, after 12/31/24, you cannot change the contract unless the contractor can't perform and agrees to terminate. You cannot consider a new project. It's got to be the same project. You might contract with another contractor, but it can't be a different project. It has to be the same one. Even if your costs go over, you're done. I'm the only one right now that can submit this report because these emails come to me and I have the information to do this. So you've got to continue to submit a yearly report until closeout instructions are provided and complete. So it's going to be for the next couple of years anyway. If funds are not obligated by the end of next year, 24, they will be returned to Treasury, but they won't start taking that money back until April of 2025. So, anyway, that's what I have for you. And I don't know what you want to do. We had talked, this council had talked about just giving that money to Storm Haven and letting them use it. But we still don't have a project that I'm aware of that we've decided on.
Correct.
So maybe we should just delay this until next year and suggest two or three different projects that would be possible. Maybe our planner and our engineering firm could help us come up, not me, you all, come up with a list of eligible projects and then determine at that point what to do.
You said you have to submit a report in April, but we really don't have to tell them what we're going to do with it till the end of 24?
No, next April, I have to submit a report saying this is what we're going to use the funds for, and I don't have a contractor yet, but this is what we're going to use the money for. This is what we think it's going
to
cost.
But you have to have a contract in place then by the end of
by the end of 24.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mary, that responsibility that you have inherited that can't be shifted to anybody else.
I can't get in there until April. It's the window is only April, and last year I tried to change the contact person, and it wouldn't let me do it. So I will try again this year, but I don't know if they will let me do that or not. I may be obligated for the duration, but we'll see. So.
Well, I think that's a pretty good thing to have you obligated.
Let's hope that's the case.
on this ARPA fund, so.
But I do think we want to spend the money somehow. So we should be thinking about that and coming up with some eligible projects. But even, I mean, the downside, if there is any downside and you have to turn the money back, is that you've collected all this interest on it than just sitting in our general fund right now.
Well,
we've had it already for, 2 years?
I think there's enough stuff out there that we can get it allocated, but I think we do what you have advised us to do and look at it.
And if a project does come up in the next 3 months and we spend the money, that's great. Then, you know, I can go ahead and report that we've spent the money and it's all taken care of. But if it doesn't, if you just decide you want to delay on it, you can do that too.
Do we need to hold a public hearing prior to the expenditure of this money?
Not required to.
Because it's ARPA, not tax dollars, or what's the...
Well...
Would we not want to receive input from the public?
Well, there are only certain things that can be spent on, and so...
Would we not want to receive input from the public?
Don't you think the council would be able to determine what would be the...
I don't know, I'm just asking the question.
And I'm just reporting that you're not required to do that. You could certainly take comment from in a public hearing if you like, but it may be relevant, it may not.
I guess you could always have 4 or 5 projects identified and then say to the public, for our town's benefit, which of these projects do you guys think? And then you do whatever is right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then you get your public input, but you've made it a little more boundary oriented that you don't have, I'd like to have my lawn mowed or why, you know, some silliness out there that you don't need to waste your time on. Mm. As a thought.
Pretty good.
I agree.
Okay, so is there any more discussion on this? I say we call for a motion then.
Well, are we going to table this resolution or are we going to vote on it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do we, are we still got to do it by a motion?
We have to do a motion to table.
If we table it, that's got to be a motion or? If we're not going to table it, then I got to read it in. So that's why I'm calling for a motion.
I will move that we table a resolution PR 2023-12-04B. A resolution approving the appropriation of the ARPA funds to the Storm Haven Culinary Water or Community Septic System.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Doug, yes.
Laura, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Great. So I'll do a little bit more research and maybe I can offer some suggestions.
Awesome.
About what's eligible. You know, like I said, I've got a whole file about that. They keep sending me stuff. So anyway, thank you, and I'll be in touch about that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, we'll go to agenda item number 5, council reports. Mary, I'll start with you. This time.
In regards to what we were just talking about, I would like to request that I be allowed to keep the Daniel, Utah email address while I'm still working on these things. And that's the only contact that they have of reaching me because I went through the town's email. So it's, what, $20 a month, I think, that it will cost to do that. So anyway, I would like permission to retain that email address indefinitely, and certainly I won't keep it any longer than necessary.
You're also the secretary of the Board of Appeals.
Right, and I'll get to that too here. The other thing I have is I'd like to remind everybody this is my last official meeting, and in a previous meeting I was appointed as the Daniel representative of the Fire District Commission. And just reminding everybody that I'm going to continue to serve on that until that position expires, and then we'll see what happens after that. The other thing that I'd like to ask is permission. I did talk to Mayor Kohler about this earlier. I'd like to volunteer to remain as the secretary for the Board of Appeals and to carry that process on so that we can continue to meet. We have a couple things in process right now. And certainly, I think it would behoove us to just have that continuation of personnel. Right, Heber? And so I would like permission to do that.
Okay. Permission granted.
Anybody else want to volunteer?
So.
Step right up.
Thank you for doing that.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate that.
Very welcome. That's all I have.
Okay. Johnny?
I have received complaints about CMC concrete using the road that goes up by Rhodes.
Southfield Road.
Southfield Road.
Okay.
And in the agreement, wasn't it that they were not going to use that as an access?
Unless they were delivering to the town.
To Daniel.
That's right.
You're right.
So how do we remind them of that or fix that or what do we do there?
So I'll speak to that just briefly. I've had a couple of complaints on that. Eric's had a couple of complaints on that. We just recently, this morning as I was driving down the road, about 5 o'clock this morning, as I was headed over to Midway, I saw their, I think it's their fly ash truck that's coming up that road and turning right there and going into there. Doesn't really matter which truck it is, but I will call Todd Cusick personally and I will let him know what we are observing and what we have observed for the last, I'd say at least month. So it's probably happened a little more often than that. So I will personally get a hold of Todd and talk to Todd about that and then I can report back on that. But as of right now, I can't really report on it because we are aware of it.
Okay.
We have had, we do have a couple of pictures of the trucks on the road. So, and I'm sure, I mean, just with what Todd said here,
it'll get fixed.
It'll get fixed, but I'll make that personal contact to him. So.
Great.
Okay.
I don't think I have anything else.
Okay. I'll just talk briefly about a couple of things. We do know that there are several potholes and chuck holes on the roads in the town of Daniel. The end of Big Hollow Road, Questar Gas fixed a gas line there a month and a half or so ago. They asked a asphalt company to come in and repair that. Never did happen. Finally, about a week ago, we got that patch to be done. I've been working with Kevin Davis, who is our contact with Wasatch County. Last week I loaded him up in the truck and we went for a little ride around the town of Daniel. And he has told me that he thinks that we can mix up some cold patch and all of the holes on Little Sweden Road, some on Daniel Road, the holes up on Mill Road. There's a couple in Crazy Acres, and there's where you come up out of Storm Haven on to get up around that loop where I'm just going to say it doesn't matter how we fix that, but we're going to cold patch that hopefully this week. I just see that the further we bring that out, the more we just keep cutting that corner up there because it's kind of a steep turn out of there. I realize that we're in the coldest time of the year, but Kevin has told me that he would fix those and then we'll address them in the spring after we get through the winter. And so he told me a ton of cold patch was going to be about $145, and then he told me that it'd take a couple of his employees 3 or 4 hours to patch this stuff. And I told him to go ahead and do that. And so hopefully we'll see how that gets us through the winter. And I showed him not just the potholes in the road, but even like when you're making your right-hand turns and that, there's a couple of off the side of the road that's broke out a little bit. They're going to take care of those also. And then as I was riding around with him, I talked to him about the edges of the road, how we're starting to, well, not starting, it's always been that way, but we've always had the edges of the road drop-offs off of them, and we're not going to fix those this year. But I asked him to get me a number on what it would take to gravel the majority of the roads in the town of Daniel and bring them edges up so that there's not drop-offs off the pavement. And Kevin's pretty easy to work with, and we'll make a few repairs, and then this spring we'll take a further look at what the snow plowing and what the winter's done to the roads, and we'll see what we're going to do there. Any questions about roads?
Up there at Storm Haven, if my memory serves me right, quite a few years ago, they actually put cement on that turn right there. You know, cut that back a little bit.
Yeah.
Put cement there, and I think that helped for. Lisa could probably tell you.
It's probably held for maybe 5 or 7 years, but it's deteriorated.
Yeah. And in the spring, we'd probably take a look at something like that on how we're going to firm that up. Because what happens is we just keep cutting that corner further, and the further back we repair. I mean, you're pulling a trailer. It's pretty rough to make a turn out of that. So we'll take a look at that in the spring. Also, we've had, and I mean, I'm sure we'd go over this on another report, but we've had a couple of people that have wanted to hooked to the gas lines and cut through the road, and I've told them that we're not going to do that this year. I made an exception last year to two places, and all winter long that come back to haunt the mayor. And so our code says from October 15th to April 15th, we're not cutting roads. We're not cutting roads. And I've talked to the individuals that have requested those personally. I've gone and visited them, and I've told them that they probably better get a propane tank and a heater for the winter and change the orifices in their furnace. They didn't even know that I knew what an orifice was. So
we all have them.
But anyway, as far as that goes, that's my report. I could talk for another 2 hours about how often my phone rings and what we're dealing with, but that's okay. So that's my report. If there's any questions from anybody, feel free to call me. I'll talk to you outside of this meeting, or we'll go get a cheeseburger and talk. Cheeseburger on me. So, Barry.
I've heard the same complaints that John had about CMC, but the only other thing is that, and so this is also my last meeting, I've taken all the airport regulation docs that I had, and they're over in Kim's office, along with the flight path meetings and docs are there. A couple other handbooks are over there as well. So if you need to go read all you want about airports, it's all over there now.
Barry, thank you.
And it will help you go to sleep if you try to read it at night.
Thank you for your service. Appreciate that.
That's all I got.
Thank you. Robin.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Let's go to engineering reports. Got anything for us tonight?
So the one thing that I have is that the Letting Copper Rule grant that we've been working on. I don't have any update on it other than I know that we're working on it. Our grant writing team has had a lot of success with this particular grant in the past. So every time we've applied, we've gotten the grant. So I'm optimistic about it.
Who do you apply to for that kind of grant?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not.
So is it federal, federal fund or is it state fund?
It would, I believe it's federal, but again, I'm not the one that's writing that grant or applying to that grant. The requirement comes from the EPA, so that's a federal requirement to do an inventory of any pipes in the water system that have the lead or copper galvanized pipe in them. So that's a requirement that needs to be, I believe it needs to be, basically the inventory needs to be done by October of next year. And we start by reviewing records, but where required, we need to go and actually look at the pipes and replace them where we find lead.
So is a homeowner required to expose his pipes if they're from the street that he connected up to his house? Is he required to?
So there's a couple ways you can go about it. You have to research both sides of the line. So that will be on the homeowner's side of the line as well as.
So he needs to permit you access to his home?
Well, we'll kind of cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess.
Because I can just well imagine there will be some that will
come
kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
So this is a new EPA requirement that we have to do an inventory of this?
So it was, there was a requirement in the past, and they've kind of tightened the requirement. It was in 2022 that they passed this. So it's relatively new, but it's not brand new. Like,
when will we know about the grant?
That's another good question.
I'm doing is thinking ARPA money maybe here. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So I'm trying to think of. We worked with another district, a water district, and I believe it was a couple months before we knew. So
okay.
And I think we began working on this last month. So I would think. Next year, early next year,
okay.
January or February.
You said lead or copper?
Yeah, so lead is really what they're looking for, but lead attaches to copper pipe. So if you've got lead somewhere and you've got copper downstream of the lead, then
it's leached onto the copper.
It attaches to the copper that's in there.
So if the town has lead pipes, obviously, we have to step up and remedy that situation.
Yes.
And per your knowledge or your company's knowledge of the town, do we have any lead pipes that are currently delivering water?
So I wouldn't expect it to be in any water mains. It's just not realistic to have an 8-inch lead pipe. But for 4-inch pipes, for smaller service lines, there may be some if they were installed before, I think it's 1984, around that time. So
what we're really talking about is extensions from off of the town system to an individual home.
Yeah, that's where I would expect them more than anywhere else.
And where we don't own those pipes and have responsibility for them, and it would seem like it's kind of up to the homeowner to declare that they have a problem. And because they installed that line themselves, to pay for it.
Well, unless
it's a delivery system line that the town has, but from the street to the residence.
Right, but if the town had copper or had lead in its lines, as a homeowner, I have copper on my line, then you've infected my copper.
I would have to look more into it.
I mean, minuscule amount of, in relationship to a true lead pipe. Anyway, I'm just trying to see what, get our arms around what this really means for the town.
I'm pretty sure Daniel.
The next thing coming is there's PFAS in plastic pipes. Yeah, so, whatever.
I'm pretty confident Daniel Municipal doesn't have any municipal lines that have lead. But I don't know about Stormhaven. Have no idea.
I'd like to know about that.
All of the ones in between Tammany Lane, Stormhaven, and 38.
Gary, can you speak up just a little?
I say, all of the water lines that we have dug up over the last 5 years or so, in either Crazy Acre, Stormhaven, or
Tammany Lane,
have all either been, most of them have been connected from PVC, which is basically 20 PVC, to galvanized, to the meter. And then most, all the others that we've dug up going into the residence have been galvanized pipe. Going back into the 1960s, all of the Daniel, original Daniel area, was all lead connections from the main. It was a, it's called a restrainer type connection. It was a piece of lead about this long, and they kind of S'd it, and it was to help prevent, you know, have some movability, not, so it wasn't so rigid. But as far as I know, all of those have been totally eliminated.
When we replaced everything, we would have done that, right? But that, the homes themselves,
but there's a lot of homes that are still galvanized pipe.
Galvanized steel.
From the main into the house.
No, just from the meter to the house.
Yeah, from the meter.
Yeah, from the meter to the house.
That's what I mean.
The galvanized
steel pipe, not lead pipe.
Yeah, right.
Galvanized pipe is similar to copper.
It still attaches?
Yeah, it's still attached.
If you've ever had lead. And the way they're regulating that is, you as a water purveyor are replacing that line. They're making you responsible for that, not the homeowner.
Who is?
EPA.
Okay, so they're telling the town that we have to go into an individual's home, dig up his lines, and replace them.
Yes, they are.
Can you get us chapter and verse on that?
I sent that to you.
I remember that.
I sent that whole list from the EPA to you. I'll resend it.
But that's only if the lead, if it's in, if
it ever has had lead on it.
Huh?
If it has lead or ever has had lead on it, those lines have to be replaced. Let's face it, the lead and copper comes from soldering. That's where the lead comes from in your house.
That's why they have lead.
It's a solder.
Lead-free solder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where we go to the taps in the house to get our, that's where we get our samples.
Well, you're biting the big bullet if like in our area, any older town that's had it.
Yep. It's not us. Look at Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, that's just.
I think there are degrees of culpability. There's a degree where your pipe is solidly lead, and then you probably have the chance of risk is way high.
Yeah.
The chance that that little bit of water passing across that bead of solder, some reduces that to the extent that one has to say, is everybody treated exactly the same from this person who has total lead pipe to this person who soldered his copper pipe? And so I'm just having a hard time really believing that the federal government is going to go in and force everybody who soldered a copper pipe to remove all of that pipe in their home.
Yeah. So I'll resend that documentation to you. And if anybody watched the news this week, you've seen President Biden said on the news, you will remove them pipes and
lead
put
pipe.
A date on it.
He said lead pipes?
Yep.
He didn't say copper pipes.
Well, this is the lead and copper rule. Anything that's downstream from lead, if it ever has that, and you have to verify. You're not going to be able to have them document. So we've been taking pictures as we dig things up because that's what they're making us do.
Yeah. Then you have to trespass into somebody's property inside their home, get their permission to go in and look at their pipes inside that wall.
Yep. And then that's what, as a water purveyor, that's, if you don't want that to happen and you don't, then we have to shut your water off.
Wow.
It's not going to be a choice for the town. As a water purveyor, that's what you have to do. You're responsible to the last running faucet. And that's the way the law reads.
Okay.
And that's what you're responsible for as the water purveyor.
They stopped using lead solder back in the 70s.
They did, yeah.
Early 70s, not late 60s.
Yeah, 75 and about there is where you can test. That's where they make us test for the lead and copper.
If you're talking lead or copper pipes feeding your house, you're also talking copper pipes running through your house. Because old homes have nothing but copper.
That's right. We pulled the lead and copper sample out of the kitchen tap. It sits there overnight, and that's where you go to get your sample. We say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. We've kept our system clean out here.
Right.
And that's where you take your sample. That's where you get dinged on the points.
No, we've never had, to my knowledge, we've never had any type of high lead.
No, we have not. We haven't been over.
So what I'm saying is, so you go back
even though
six,
we test high? This lead and copper rule will make us do that.
Regardless of what the testing results are.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, because the lead will, if it's ever been disturbed upline, it will reattach to a metal line or a copper line downstream. So it's going to be expensive, and we've sat in many meetings and say, what the heck? How can they make you do this? Is this Russia? We've heard it all. So exactly what you're saying, Robin, it seems very intrusive.
Well, I just wait till you try to start going into somebody's home without permission.
Yep.
To inspect their
look at the line, but to look through the whole plumbing system.
That's what I'm saying. This is just
it's crazy.
Seems a little bit crazy to me.
So if I got copper in my house, you didn't replace all of that?
No.
That's what he's saying. Anything downline, like some of
all the way to the tap. That's
all the way to the tap.
All the way to the tap. It'll have to be replaced. It's going to be up to the town to see how they bill that person. You're going to have to go after the money. The EPA's making you guys on the hook for it.
That's only copper that's been installed since or before 75, right?
Yeah, and we do lead copper tests around the town.
Yeah, so
and that's the criteria they make us test for.
I'm not even on their water system, but.
But if you, like my.
But if you're pumping it out of the well,
I don't care.
You're still going to get sick.
right, Eric? I have copper pipes in my home, but I don't need to worry about it.
Because yours was built way after.
Yeah.
They used lead-free solder.
So we've got to go help all these people that have older homes.
Well, you're looking at them old galvanized lines. You see the inside of them, they close in.
And we got to gut their whole house, all the water lines in the house?
We have to go as far as they'll tell us we have to go. Right now they're saying you have to go from the meter to the residence.
Okay.
But if the residence doesn't test positive for lead, why would you want to replace the lines?
That's the EPA's rule. Sorry, Blake, this is your report. You did. I've sat through way too many trainings for this.
Thanks, Eric.
Way too many.
And it's not so much even the sample, the water sample, it's more looking at the actual pipe and what is upstream of that pipe.
But the town's only responsible from the meter to the house?
Well, the rules, as they put it, you're now responsible to the last running tap. That's why we do back provoke per vendors in all the businesses.
Yeah.
That's why because we're responsible to the last flowing tap. That's just the way they've written the rules.
What does that mean, Eric, the last flowing tap?
The last place you get a drink of water.
In I don't know what that, help me understand.
We have to go inside the home.
We're inside those businesses doing that same thing.
Oh, so you go inside the house.
Yep.
And the furthest tap from where
further
the water
staff,
comes in?
That's where you're responsible to, as a water purveyor.
And isn't that where you have to sample from also now?
No, they make us just go to the kitchen sink.
Okay, yeah.
And they make us sit overnight. You can't run the water in the morning. And the first thing in the morning,
yeah.
You take the sample because it's been sitting in those lines. And then that gives you their best chance.
This is insane.
But in reality, if there's lead in the home, it is lead that will show up in any one of the faucets that you turned on.
Yeah, it could.
It would.
Yeah,
it would because it's there.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
it doesn't dissipate.
I know, but in the bathroom, you're using that all night. The kitchen sink usually sits. That's why they make us take that sample there.
Okay.
Not my rules. Call the EPA.
Good luck. 127,000 won't go very far.
So, to clarify what you were asking, if the town is just responsible from the meter to the house, the town is responsible for all lines, but
we're expecting that you would find it mostly on the service lines, the laterals that connect the main to the house.
Okay. Any other questions, comments regarding?
So what's, how do we do on this?
The engineer report.
Just one at a time, they're requiring so much percentage to be done each year.
Do we just wait then, or?
No, we gotta have this inventory done, or else they start dinging us with points, and they very well could make you a non-certified water company.
So how do we do the inventory?
So that's what this, that's exactly what this grant is about, that Blake's telling you.
Okay.
That gets you set up in everything that you need to show the EPA that we are doing the inventory, we're working through.
Okay.
So that's what that grant's for.
Would it be worthwhile to inventory everything and say, this is what it is, not just look for lead and copper, because I guess is they're gonna come after plastic next.
Yeah, they do actually require you to rule out and say what it is.
So then at that point, you'd have an inventory of what everything was.
Unless you have a certain sample size that you can look at and say, oh, we've checked 80% of that sample size and none of it's been lead.
Okay.
But we don't have that big of a sample size, so.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, anything else?
Blake?
That's the only thing I had.
Okay, that was enough, thank you.
That was a lot, Blake, good job.
Sorry.
Let's go to number seven, planning report. That's in front of you. Are there any questions for Eric on the planning report?
You see, we've issued some COs. We like that. You know how much we love issuing COs.
Get them off the list.
That's right. We like doing that.
Were we able to take care of the Samantha and her husband's complaint across the street?
No.
Okay.
We've been working on that.
Okay. They were pretty adamant, so I was hoping we're helping them.
Yep. We've talked to a couple of people up there, I have, that were pulling the trailers in and out of there, and we'll see how that goes. So
that kind of business should have probably stopped with the cold weather anyway. That kind of business stops with the cold weather anyway. You're not selling asphalt in the winter, so.
But if we maybe nip it in the bud, we won't see it in the spring?
Yeah.
You hope?
Yep. Any questions? Everybody good? Everybody knows that down at the bottom, the Schultz case was dismissed with prejudice?
It was without prejudice.
Without prejudice, yep. So he can refile?
Yes, and I don't know.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
But he still has to do things before he can refile. I mean, should do things.
He clearly doesn't. Okay.
What's the Jess Smith one?
So that's the one that we're talking about, the Board of Adjustments.
Board of Adjustments.
We wouldn't give them a permit to build their garage out in the right of way.
Okay. That's right.
They took us to court.
And that one's at the Board of Appeals right now?
It's at court.
It's at court.
It went to the Board of Appeals, now it's in
court. Do we have a court date or anything like that? No.
Okay. Daniel Municipal Water, Storm Haven Water. Eric?
It's running.
Doing pretty awesome, I think. Most of the meters are reading. We're looking at a couple of on Wednesday. I'll be with a couple of individuals on a certain meter on 3000 South. We'll report on that next month. What we find out on that, so we think it's leaking. We'll just tell you that. So probably get that fixed. We're checking that out on Wednesday. So Okay.
Is that residential?
It is residential, yes.
Makes it hard when they want you to check the meter, so, I mean, it's a tough deal to do.
Oh, you mean they're reading the high and they're saying they're not using it?
Yeah, isn't that always the complaint?
Never the other way, is it?
Yeah.
You should be charging me more money.
If the meter's not leaking, then it's a guarantee it's flowing through, so.
Yep.
It becomes a customer problem.
That's what we're gonna go see.
We'll see Wednesday.
We'll know Wednesday about that.
Take your stethoscope.
I'm actually taking a plumber with me, and I may even take you with me. I don't know, I haven't asked you yet, but I may have you down there with me. I might need some backup.
We can go, you can go to the Heber City and they'll probably give you their little detector off the line.
Yeah.
Done that before.
They have a leak detector that does that or something?
Fairly inconclusive.
Is it?
They have one, but it doesn't work.
Two times I used it, it worked really well.
Just the fork stick.
The problem was, the customer said, oh, we only don't wanna go to here. So they only went to there, and then a couple of years later, a year later, it wound up going all the way to the house. It was all rotten ground. That's what you find.
Okay, very good. Any questions on that, comments? Let's go number nine, recorder's office, warrants, announcements, et cetera. Any questions for Kim?
Did you make contact with Utah Local Governments Trust?
I did contact them. They do not carry the liability insurance for Wasatch County, just their workman's comp. They will not cover us on if the town gets sued and we're contracting with Wasatch County. However, Amanda Simpson assured me that all of their trucks, personnel, equipment will be...
Will they name us as an additional insured on their policy?
She didn't really understand what that meant, so I'm still working on that with her. But it was very clear that A, they don't cover liability for Wasatch County, and then B, that we either need to get onto their insurance policy or...
Which is the same thing as being...
Exactly, yeah.
So what about the claim regarding our for hose and pipes?
We're still working on those.
Working on that.
Yep.
So we're still contracting with Executac, it looks like.
We're still moving, that's just the subscriptions. So we're just moving those over to Aaron. And when I tried to move them over to Aaron, he was out of town.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so as soon as we've offboarded any break fix or anything like that, he's handling all of that. It's just offboarding. And it will still be the same cost, because that's just what it costs. It will just go to him and not to them.
Motion to approve the warrants.
Okay, call for vote.
Doug, yes.
Roger, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to 10. Approval of meeting minutes for November 6, 2023. current system.
See you guys.
Bye. Thanks for your service, Mary. I'm from Paradise, why do I want to go in?
Okay, good answer.
I'm hiding in traffic, but you can stay home.
Yeah.
Safe? Yeah, I had a couple of things here.
Yeah.
Okay. Involve camping or structure should be changed to.
Oh, that should be dwelling. To dwelling. Why that? Only equal. We take out structure and add dwelling to dwell. So everywhere it says structure in there, we replace that with.
So how does that fit into this, the rest of that sentence then?
They wanted.
So to change to dwelling in A21.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, so that makes sense. And then the other thing.
And then also to follow it up of that law, because there were a few miscellaneous places.
And then on the next page, okay, so. I saw this twice. Oh, yeah. To close the public hearing. Okay, and then from here, move to adopt the ordinance.
Oh, adopt the ordinance.
Yeah, because here's the hearing.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, so that, show me again. Okay, adopt that, yeah.
There you go.
The ordinance.
Oh, yeah, they got it.
Thank you, of course, for that catch. And I don't know if you noticed, John left early, so he's not in some of those last votes. That's why.
He's probably going to put that in there that he left. When anybody leaves, you should. So, you know,
okay.
Later on, when there's.
So put that in there? Okay. Because he left right before. I can tell you exactly when he left.
So are we ready to call for a motion?
Well, I had a couple of corrections here. Just to let you know, on page 2, in the paragraph there, it was the code is 82133, not 831. And then in the last sentence of that same paragraph, camping, the word structure be changed to dwelling in A21. So there was a word left out. And so those two changes. And then on the next page, the motion, Councilmember Pearson moved to adopt the ordinance, not close to public hearing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary. Okay, so we'll call for a motion.
And I move that we approve the minutes of Monday, November 6, 2023, with the proposed changes.
Second. Call for a vote.
Devin, yes.
Corey, yes.
Dixon, yes.
I wanted to beat you.
You guys are good.
Closed session.
No closed session today.
Motion to adjourn. Can I call for a vote?
Yes.
Kohler, yes.
That's a yes.
First, you know, I want to say, you guys can have, go ahead.
Jerk, 7:10.
Make sure you mark that down as a no, I won't. I want that so I can black my guess. You'll need that, Mayor.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, that's pretty complex.
Well, thank